Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Incredible warm welcome to Miss Reva Henry.
Okay, all right. Y'all had your coffee this morning or something. Okay, we have been, if you've missed any, no, I'm not going to say it that way. If you've been here for all now 3 weeks of our spirit series, let me see you raise your hand. All right. So there's quite a few of you that can go and listen to our podcast and listen to our YouTube channel of the weeks that have gone before this week, because I encourage you to do so, because this is an important series, I feel, for us as a community. It feels like it's helping us to shape our future even as a community. And last week, Eric laid out some really great practical teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about one specifically, which is prophecy. Okay? So it's kind of cool because it's like all day, even back in the huddle, Candace was talking about 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. I said, did she see my slides or something? Because everyone's kind of just been in that vein of talking about prophecy and the Spirit of God living inside of each and every one of us. So I want to already debunk some thoughts in your head right now. When you hear the word prophecy, you may have some thoughts in your mind. And the main thought of this talk is you were made to hear his voice. So I want you to look at your neighbor. This is where you get a little loose, okay? Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, you were made to hear his voice. Find another neighbor. Tell them, you were made to hear his voice. Now, you know when you have one finger pointing at someone else, you have three pointing back at yourself. Now say, I was made to hear his voice. Okay, if you are a believer, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And just as Eric taught us, now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He indwells every believer. Guess what? You're in that category. So this talk is not skipping over anybody in this room if you fall into that category. And I really wish, honestly, that I could actually take each of you by the hand, look you all in the eye, and just actually let you know all of the things that you have access to. As a son or daughter of God, we talk about a lot around here about being alive. And that part of being alive, fully alive in the Spirit of God, is that we actually have access to so many beautiful things. And being able to hear his voice is actually one of those things that we have access to. Now, if you're like me, I didn't grow up around this, okay? This was not a norm for me. There's some of you came out the womb, like we'll probably say Eric probably came out of the womb surrounded by this belief and this thought. That was not my story, okay? So if you're like me in the room, I actually kind of thought things of the Spirit. If someone prophesied, someone spoke in tongues, I was like, ooh, this is spooky. I was like, what is going on? And I remember this as a child because no one ever actually came and told me. They said, these are spooky things. You should be, you know, alert or aware of these things. No one told me that, but it was something that I picked up in my environment as a child that began to later change and actually form my core beliefs about what I thought about things in the spirit. And so we're going to just fast forward through life. I was actually given some really practical teaching on the gifts. And that's what I'm hoping that I actually give to you today. Something very practical, that's very tangible, that you'll be able to understand and take and actually become more curious about the gift of prophecy today. Okay? I became more curious, and I no longer thought they were spooky as I got this practical teaching. But later on, I heard the verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, that said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Are we going to read it again? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, for me, the girl who once thought that these things were spooky, you can imagine that I am now open to the gifts of the Spirit, and I hear this verse. I'm like, hold on. Wait a minute. what are we saying? Because I had negative connection to the gift of prophecy. There were people, and I don't know, this is not shaming anybody, but I don't know if they were self-titled or if they were appointed and called as such, but they wanted to be known as prophet so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so. And unfortunately, out of them came some harmful things and some painful things. And I'd seen friends, I'd seen many people go through that, and I was like, I don't want any part of that. But as I began to study, you know, the gift of prophecy, I learned that we as humans, we can taint some things. When we put our own human spin on some things, it can come in a way that can be harmful and not be the way that God intended for it to be. So I know that before we even dive into the rest of this talk, I actually want to take some time and just make a little bit of space to actually acknowledge those in the room that actually have experienced pain. Those that actually have experienced any manipulation, whether it was confusion, whether it was embarrassment, whether it was discouragement, you've experienced any of those things connected to the gift of prophecy. I want to tell you, first of all, that I am so sorry. I am sorry that that was your experience, but I'm here to tell you that was not God's intent for you. That was not God's intent for you. I love that this chapter, chapter 14, starts with pursue love. And it comes after 1 Corinthians 13 that we all know as the love chapter. And that's how I'm going to close today, so I'm not going to jump there just yet. But this gift is to be done out of love, in love, because of love. And so we can believe like the prophet Jeremiah when he says that he knows the plans that he has for you, and they're plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Those other things were not God because it didn't sound like him. It wasn't his nature. When we think about the prophets from the biblical perspective, we usually think we go Old Testament, right? Everybody's in the Old Testament. And we think about Moses. We think about Elijah. And we think about what is referenced in the books of the Bible as the major prophets and the minor prophets, right? And usually when we're reading those sections of the Bible, the prophet is declaring some type of punishment is coming, some plague is coming, you know, get right, turn back to God, Israel. We're hearing all of those things, but I want to bring highlight to what was given to the prophet Joel. Chapter 2, verse 28 through 29, and it says, after this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams and your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female servants in those days. And this was significant because at that time, there were only certain specific people that had been given a message from God to share with a group of people. And so now here comes Joel saying that from God, this is Joel saying it as God's mouthpiece, that he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh or all humanity. This was a promise that was given in the Old Testament. And then we move forward, fast forward to the New Testament, and we hear it again in the book of Acts in chapter 2, where Peter is stating and quoting Joel. He says, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants on those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. Everybody say, they will prophesy. So if by now you have not kind of got the picture, this is for all. He says it in Joel. He says it again in the book of Acts. But I want to point out a few things here. I'm going to call this smart man. His name is John D. Berry, and we're going to just call him JB for the day, okay? So JB says about this particular section of scripture, says the events of Pentecost demonstrate to the Jewish audience that the promises made to them are fulfilled in Jesus, who is the true Messiah. And at that time of the last days, has begun. So in Joel, God's full and final restoration of his people involves inner transformation by his spirit. And in chapter 2, verse 18, it says the spirit's ministry and the gifts he bestows are not restricted by social position or status. Okay, so this gift is not just meant for one set of people, one group of people. Eric talked about it last week that it's not even based on your personality. The gifts are not based on personality. You can say, well, I'm not loud like you, Reva, or, you know, I'm more quiet, or I'm just that. You cannot be talking to me. But once again, this promise is for all. And if there is anything in you right now that is making you feel like, well, I know she said it's for all, but I don't think she's talking to me. Or if you feel as if you're unqualified, I'm going to just say it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your demographic. It doesn't matter what you've done. If God has saved you, this is for you. And I loved how Eric laid out the gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 last week. I just want to look back at chapter 12, verse 4, where it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And I want to highlight this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is for the benefit of the community. And so my boy, JB, he said it again, based off of that seventh verse, he said, it emphasizes the diversity in gifts that's distributed among believers because these gifts reveal the activity of the Spirit within the church community. Paul's emphasis is on the community as a whole. So he's not indicating that every single person has his or her own gift. Rather, each person has multiple gifts and often shares the same gifts with others. So God reveals the Spirit through the various gifts provided to believers. And this is the part that I highlighted. The gifts exist for the benefit of the community, not the status of an individual. That initial slide that had Spirit for our Spirit series, one of those words in there was about character. And when we look at, I've seen people, and this made me kind of want to push away from it, that wore gifts as a badge of honor. Like, oh, I am prophet so-and-so, or when I prophesy, everything comes to pass, you know? And they begin to wear these things as a badge of honor, but this says this is not for your benefit. This is for the benefit of the whole, of the community. It is to edify the body. It is to encourage the body. It is to equip the body. And the beauty of it, it's not just for the four walls. I love when Eric shared that last week. Said, what would that look like if, as these gifts are manifested or they are expressed through us, not just in the four walls, but even in our city, even in our state, in our nation, at our jobs, in our family? All right, we going. So what is prophecy, right? I'm like, we talking about it. Prophetic words may involve future events, but its main purpose is to communicate God's message to people. Now, sometimes we can get a little confused in like what's prophecy and what is a word of knowledge, if you have ever heard those two terms before. And so the next slide says, a word of knowledge deals with facts past to present. Prophecy deals with potential truths present to future. Now, if y'all want to take pictures of these slides, because I made a lot of them, okay, and they're really pretty, so you should take pictures of them. All right, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay? So, word of knowledge deals with facts past to present. And so, Reva, what does that look like? So, if I am talking with Amy, because she's sitting right here in the front row, and I get this picture of a blue house. And I'm like, Amy, do you live in a blue house? She's like, no, I don't live in a blue house. I'm like, have you ever lived in a blue house? And she's like, yeah, when I was like 5. Okay, so now that's become a word of knowledge that actually is from the past, but now I can ask God, what does that mean? And I can begin to give whatever word that he's trying to communicate to her in that particular moment. So the words of knowledge, actually, they partner with the prophetic. Okay? I am teaching you today. They partner with the prophetic. And they can help to stimulate faith. Okay? So how do they stimulate faith? You could have someone, the moment you share something with them that you should not know about their life, suddenly that stimulates faith inside of the person that's listening, and it can allow for that prophetic word to go forth and to be received, okay? It also helps to prepare the way for the prophetic, because how many times you know that there are some people that are a bit skeptical? But if there's some word of knowledge that you've received, that can begin to help prepare the way for this prophetic word to go. And this prophetic word is coming from God because he loves the person that you're talking to. Simply because of love. Okay? And it can also help provide context. Like, provide context of what this person may be going through or experiencing right now in this moment, and it can help provide context for what God is wanting to say to them, okay? So how do I know if I have a word of knowledge? Well, sometimes those can be, I'm going to use the word impression a lot today. It can be an impression of maybe your shoulder suddenly gets a pain, okay? And you're just like, I don't have shoulder pain. Now, if you're my age, you wake up with ailments every other day. You don't know what is what. You don't know what. This is why you gotta ask the Lord. Lord, is that you? Is that me? Okay? It's really practical. Is it you? Is it me? Okay? It may be a feeling of heat on some form of a part of your body. It also could just be a gut feeling. You just know that you know that you know. I just suddenly have this impression about something or someone that I'm speaking to or someone that I even need to call or send a text message to. Okay? Now, the thing about God is he loves diversity. And I say that because he doesn't just speak in one way. Okay? And a big part of this series has been to show you that Holy Spirit is not one-dimensional. He doesn't come in one way. He doesn't come only a specific way with a specific formula, but he even speaks to us differently. So some of us may hear. We may actually hear God's voice. We may actually hear something, hear a name, hear a street. We may hear, or we may see. There are people that have visions. There's a sweet girl last week in the second service that shared from the youth conference that they went to that she saw this vision for the first time, you know, during worship. And sometimes you may close your eyes, you may see a picture. Like I said earlier, I may have saw a blue house. Sometimes there, you may just feel something. I mean, and like I did say earlier, you may feel shoulder pain, but sometimes you just have a feeling. And that's maybe the way that God speaks to you. Sometimes you just know that you know that you know that you know that it's a deep gut feeling, and that may be how he is giving that impression to you. Now, I added dream here because I am, for one, a person that God speaks to sometimes in dreams. You know, and if he does speak to me in a dream, and, you know, there are some dreams that are bad pizza, you know, heartburn dreams. But there are some dreams that you wake up and you're like, what was that? You know, or it leaves this impression on you that really sits with you. And I encourage you, write those down. If it's for someone, I'll shoot them a text and just say, hey, I don't know if this means anything to you, but I'm just going to give it to you and, you know, you can do whatever you want to do with it. Okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about all those things as well. Okay? So this is not formulaic. There is no formula. Because he is not one-dimensional. Okay? This is where it comes out of intimacy. This is why it comes out of love, because it comes out of us, as we said on Friday, abiding in him, being closely connected to him, that you're able to hear his voice. So I'm calling these like some tips. You know, this is not rules, just some tips. Okay? So after you receive whatever that impression is, whether you see, hear, know, feel, whatever that impression, however it comes, rather, you want to ask, what does this mean? Okay? Or you want to ask, Lord, what would you like to say to this person based off of what impression it is that you've gotten? Now, we want to say, when we're talking to the person, I feel, instead of God showed me or God said. I'm going to say it again. We want to say, I feel, like, I feel God showed me, or I feel God said. There's a guy who I'm quoting all throughout these little things, all these slides. His name is Dan McCollum. And he says, when I say I feel, it actually invites the person into this process with me in regarding to what I feel like I've heard from the Lord over their life. But when I say God said or God showed, now it puts you in the position to tell me whether I'm right or I'm wrong. Okay? So we want to say I feel instead of those other wonderful things. And then after you share it, follow up. Okay? And say, does that mean anything to you? Or something within that realm of feedback, because you do want the feedback and you do want to know if there's any accuracy in what you just shared. Okay? So does that resonate with you? Did that mean anything to you? That's just a few little tips, okay? Now, if you're on the receiving end of a prophetic word, The Bible tells us to test and judge what is being said. This is our responsibility. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21 says, "Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good." Okay? That alone tells us that all of it may not resonate with us, because we have to understand that we as humans, we only see in part. We only see in part. So this is why you have to test. You have to process the prophetic words that are given to you. And you're saying, "Well, Reva, well, how do I process and test these words?" I got you, okay? Got you. Thanks to Mr. Dan McCollum. I will take a picture of this because I'm going to go through these really quickly. It says, does it agree with Scripture? Is it consistent with the character and the nature of God? Does this resonate with me? How do my family, friends, and leaders who love me feel about the word? Do I trust the source? Does this person have any reason to control or manipulate me? This is my favorite one. Would this person receive any personal benefit from my following this prophetic word? Does it glorify God and draw me close to Jesus? And does my trusted community believe this word, or parts of it reflect what God is speaking to me right now? This shows the power of community. You take these things and you share them with the people that are trusted in your life so that you don't end up down here in Timbuktu following what we believe is thus said the Lord. Okay? Yes. So this next one, I love this before we get into some activations, is I'm calling prophetic pathway. He called it protocol. Protocol just felt like a little weird to me, but pathway. How about that? Okay? Pathway. And I love this. So when he says, when you are sharing prophetic words with people, be positive. Okay? We always heard this back in Reading. Look for the treasure, not the trash. Okay? Be brief. I got you. We don't need a sermon. We don't need the background information of how you got the word. Nope. Be clear. Be concise. Okay? Be kind. Okay? Everyone's not comfortable with receiving prophetic words. So don't come with your prophetic face looking like, "I have something to share with you." Maybe smile. Maybe just approach them with a nice, kind smile. Just and ask, "Can I share this with you?" You know, a lot of times we hear about correction, you know, being connected to the prophetic. This man here named Dan McCollum, he actually recommends that if there is some corrective situation that you want to give, you actually only do that within relational context. All right. And then we always hear this: avoid dates, mates, babies, or major life changes, because it's actually not always loving, honoring, or wise to give those in a prophetic context. Be humble. When we are exercising this gift, we have to leave room for human error. So if we get it wrong, you got to clean it up and stay teachable. And lastly, be bold. When you feel the impression or you hear God leading you to say something, to share something, just do it. Just do it. Y'all want to practice? Cool. So I need you to find a partner, okay? It can't be your spouse. And you don't have to get up and leave your space because we're on limited time. So just turn around and find somebody that you don't live with, okay? Unless it's your child or whatever, okay? Find someone you don't live with. All right, I'm gonna give you 15 seconds to find somebody. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. All right, I think y'all found people. Okay, so listen up, everybody, listen up, listen up. Listen up, listen up, listen up. I want you to look at your partner. And you are going to change their name by giving them a new identity. You're going to give them a new identity by changing their name, okay? And you're going to prophesy over your partner about why you would give that particular name and describe its prophetic significance, okay? So you're practicing. You're going to ask Holy Spirit, what name would you like to give this person? And the name that you hear, say it and ask him, well, Lord, why would you give that name? And then you're going to share that with that person, okay? I believe in y'all. And I believe you're going to hear it quick because I'm only giving you 3 minutes. Go. For my podcasters, you can do the same or ask the Lord for a new name for yourself. Research what that name means. Write down all your research and revelation down for a prophetic word for yourself. A minute and a half remaining. Almost 30 more seconds, 30 more seconds. Five. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's go ahead and bring it back together. Bring it back together. Bring it back together. All right, I want two volunteers that want to share what name your partner gave you. Two volunteers that want to share what name your partner gave you and what it meant. If it resonated with you. Come on, D. You always ready. Okay, what name was given to you and what did it mean?
So he named me Brave. And he said that he just saw me as somebody that goes after things, that's not afraid of it, and she's bold. So I was like, yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, come on, love it. Love it. Let's give it up for that one. Yes. All right. One more person. Come on. What name was given to you and what did it mean?
Joe gave me the name of John, and he said, the Lord sees how much you love him. And what I told him that Joe didn't know is that my first name is John.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Okay, so we are short on time, so I'm going to let you take a picture of activation number two, and you can do it at home, okay? So I want you to find someone that you, there's a partner or at your job or your friend or whatever. Text somebody. Do that one at home. I think that one's really, really cool. And you're going to ask the Lord to show you something about that person's family member. And if there's a specific need, and then whatever that need is, you want to write it down and share it with that person so they can possibly share it with their family member. All right? And I have one more. It's another homework assignment right here. Yes, the next one, activation number three. I have a friend, okay? This activation is literally talking about how sometimes you can know what a person's name means, and that can begin to be a spark for a prophetic word that God wants to speak over that person. So I have a friend named Christopher. His name means Christ bearer, or he who holds Christ in his heart. So based off of that name, I want you to listen to God and say, what prophetic word does the Lord want to share with him? And you can email those at hello@studiogreenville.com, and I'm going to share them with that person. All right? I love it. Y'all have been so great today. So, thank you. So 2 Timothy 1:6 tells us to stir up the gift, okay? We have to, we put it into practice. We have to exercise it. We got to sharpen the tool because there's a world outside that is waiting for this gift to be expressed through each of us, all right? So in closing, I have a resource slide. I've used a lot of few things out of this basic training for prophetic activation. The activations that I gave you all are actually in this book, and there are so many more. Two friends of mine and myself, we would do this one every Sunday just because we were curious and we wanted to grow in this. So it's a great way to do this with a small group or anything of that nature. And the same author has a book called Love and Prophecy, and how we talked about in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lays out the gifts. By the time we get to chapter 13, it's saying, but if you have all these gifts but don't have love, like, what does it really actually even mean? And so when we look at chapter 13, I love that I've heard people say that if you can take the gifts and put them in the place of love in chapter 13, it'll show you how we should operate in them. So I'm going to read this for you. Prophecy is patient. Prophecy is kind. Prophecy does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant. Prophecy is not rude. It is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Prophecy finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. So I want us to take that with us today, that as we are, some of us learning about prophecy for the first time, some of us being reintroduced to it in a new way, that we remember that it's love that drives this gift. It's love that fuels this gift from our ears to their ears and back all the way around. Okay? So I love you all, and that's it.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.